So this week is Parshas Mishpotim, the Law of the Judgment. So last week we were standing at Sinai, and this week already, you know, being sold as slaves because we stole and we couldn't pay. How come we couldn't pay? Everybody inherited a little piece of the land, so we're already long past having lost that little piece of land. So the Ishbitzer says, you know, this week's Sedra, we go from Igra Roma Lebira Amikta, we go from standing on the highest roof, shouting at the world, yada da da da, right? And now, this week, you know, I'm in the deepest hole in the ground that it could be. I'm like, I'm so far, I'm so far away that I just, you know, I can barely see the sky. It's so far away from me. So, you know, how do I go from there to there? So that's the story. There's an interesting Torah from the Rebbe Rabbinim. He says, "Ve'elam hamishpotim." This is how the Seder begins, and these are the laws, ashetosim lifneihem, that you should put before them. So the Gemara says, "Ashetosim lifneihem," you should put before them. And you know, if even if you know that in a certain law the court of the land will pass in the halacha the same as the Torah, we should take, these are the laws that you should put before them, that if you have an argument with somebody, you have a question in law, tort, damages, whatever it is, you should go to the Beis Din and go to the Rabbonim and see what the Torah decides on such a thing. It's interesting that the Degen Machne Ephraim, who is the grandson of the Holy Baal Shem Tov, he said, you know, sometimes you go to court. You go to, especially the feeling would come up if a person goes to a Beis Din. He and his neighbor calls him to a Din Torah, and he knows for sure in his heart, he knows that he doesn't owe the money. Right? So let's say he borrowed money, the guy gave, you know, he wrote an IOU, and then when he paid the money back, he didn't get a receipt. And then a year later, the guy comes and says, "You owe me money." He says, "But I paid you." He says, "Well, where's the receipt?" And he can't show a receipt, right? So a situation like that, where you know for sure in your heart that you don't owe them, and you go to the Din Torah, according to the Din Torah, if the guy's got signature that you borrowed money and you don't have a receipt to say you paid it back, well, you know, you have to swear an oath or pay the money, you know, things like that. That sometimes it can happen that according to Din Torah, you end up paying money that you in your heart you know you don't owe. So the Degel says, that's why the Zohar Kodesh says, "Ve'ela mishpotim," these are the laws, he says, "ve'ela hagilgulin," these are the reincarnations. Where does the Zohar connect this week's Sedra, all about incarnation and reincarnation? So the Degel says, because sometimes we find ourselves in a situation in this world where it's not fair. Something's happening to us and we know for sure, hey, I didn't deserve that. I'm being pilloried for something that I know I didn't do, or I'm being obliged to pay money where for sure I know I didn't owe it. So he says, the thing is that you say to yourself, how could the Torah, if the Torah is so perfect and so eternal, how come it's causing me damage here that I have to pay money that I don't really owe? So that's why the Zohar Kodesh says, "V'in Gilgulaya," these are the reincarnations, because you don't know who you are and you don't know what you owe from a previous life to whom, in what circumstances. And so the Degel says actually that we need to take this as a really a big lesson, not just in terms of money, but in life in general. You know, things happen to us and we feel like if there was any justice in the world, this wasn't happening. But you know, that's because we don't know what justice is, because we're not really aware of where we've come from and what we've done and what we may owe in karma, in a karmic debt. So that's why these mishpatim, these laws, we have to see them in a really in a big picture. So the Rabbinim says, what is a malach? What is an angel? The Gemara says, from every mitzvah that you do, every time you do something, you create a malach. So really, you do a mitzvah and there's a malach. So what is that malach? What is that angel? We grow up in Western society, it's so easy to you say the word angel and it conjures up this pre-Raphaelite image, of this really anorexic looking, vaporish thing with wings and so forth. But if I understand that a malach is really a mitzvah, that's its entire being. It doesn't have an existence other than the energy of the deed. So, what is a human being? I think to myself that I have an existence outside of the mitzvah, right? I'm Hershey. I was born a Hershey. I was a little baby. I came into this world, and as I start to grow, I get taught, I get socialized and educated, and then I get to like bar mitzvah, and now it's time to do mitzvahs. So the Rebbe Binim says, God says to Moshe, please teach the Yidden that's not who they are. Ela hamishpotim asher tosim lifnehem. These are the laws that you should put before them, not meaning just so much in front of them, but prior. That I need to get to that place where I stop thinking of myself as having an existence, as an individual, as an independent person. Who does, just by the way, maybe an occasional mitzvah, I do God a favor, right, and keep Shabbos, right? Ela mishpatim, God says to Moshe, teach the Yidden to stop feeling that way. Teach them to start to feel like I need to be like a malach, which is to say that my existence is the good deeds that I do. And that I stop thinking of myself as an individual who does good deeds, but that I don't really have any existence other than the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. So these are the mishpotim that you should put before them, that they should understand that before they come into existence, that the real existence that we have is not, that we make a scanner go off, when we go in through the airport and it beeps. Oh, so I know that I exist, because I can set off a scanner. No, I should feel that the real existence is like the malach, that the metzias, the real existence, comes only out of the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, with the connection that I have with the divine. It's interesting that at the end of the Seder, says Moshe took the Book of the Covenant and he read it out to us, and we said Kol asher b'Hashem na'aseh v'nishma, everything that God has said, all that God has spoken, we will do and we will listen. So there's a Kotzgevart which I feel like it really connects the beginning of the Seder to the end of the Seder through the teaching of his Rebbe, the Rebbe Rabbinim. So he says, there are philosophers He says, Yesh ba'olam, there is in the world, chachamim, wise men, sages, chokrim, scientists, or philosophim. Right? So you got naturally, you got everybody like figuring things out. V'kulam choshim v'chokrim b'yediyas elehis. And they're all trying to figure out what God is and who God is. It says, but as much as they are geniuses and as much as they figure out, a human being can't figure out more than he is himself. I mean, as much as you have ability, that's how much you can figure out. No more than that. But he says the Bnei Yisrael, they have a keli, they have a vessel, which is the Ma'aseh Mitzvos. Right? You have the divine commandment of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. So you have something here which is of infinite size, and you're not trying to understand it, you're trying to do it. So you're trying to connect yourself, you're trying to become a vessel for the divine. So if you, as you become a vessel for the divine, then you are able to acquire knowledge of God, which is in, I guess, the same size as the mitzvah that you're doing. So, if you are performing a mitzvah and you are connecting with the spirit of Ruach Elokim, right, the spirit of God, that you're connecting with the divine, which is infinite, then you become a vessel for the infinite, then your understanding of the divine, your knowledge of God, comes from that mitzvah, which means that it's nothing to do whether you're a philosopher or whether you're a sage or a scientist. It has to do with the simple meaning of the act of the mitzvah, the meaning of obedience, the meaning of dedication, and the meaning of devotion and worship and love and awe and fear. All these emotions, they're not intellectual things. They're really simple acts. These simple acts become the infinite vessel for the awareness. And so when you enter into the mitzvah, you're capable of knowing God in ways that the philosopher and the sage and the scientist can never reach. And that's the meaning. V'yoymru, and they said, Kol hashesh dibe Hashem nase, everything that God is, we will do. And God, if you help us to do, then nishma, we'll be able to hear. We'll be able to know. Will be able to connect with you in an infinite way that the philosopher and the scientist can't. And this is really, he's taken the first Torah of his Rebbe, Ela HaMishpotim HaShitosim Lefneihem, and he's given it, you know, he's taken it to the end of the Sedra and he's taken it to the nth degree. So if I put the mitzvah of doing, if I approach, if I take my life, if I just come to God and I do the mitzvah, which just, it's to obey, right? I'll do it. And in my doing, I just offer up quietly, as I said before, you know, the obedience, devotion, worship, joy, love, fear, awe, care, paying attention, all these things, if they are who I am, that the name, you know, the Hershey, the person, you know, who feels so important, or because he feels so unimportant, needs to make such a loud noise so that if all that goes away, right? And a person starts the day with avoida, with doing, that person takes on the koyach of the malach, the angels, that's angelic, because the existence isn't about what it says on my social security number. That's not my existence. My existence is this vessel for the divine, which is infinite. And then the person is really the malach. And this is Ashatosim Nifneim. So these two Torahs of Pshischa and Kotzk are really the same Torah. I wanted to say, this week in the Seder, we have Bos b'chol avrei sevashel gedi b'chalev imoy. Don't boil the kid in the milk of its mother. And three times it says in the Torah, the first time it appears is here in the Seder. And I'm thinking, you know, everything in this week in the Seder, there's so much. But we jump me'inyan le'inyan. I mean, we start Ve'ela mishpotim ashatosim nifneim kisikna eved ivri. You buy a slave, a Jewish slave, meaning somebody who's been sold by Beis Din for their debts, for having, you know, been a thief or something. We start there, and we end with Na'aseh V'Nishma, right? And then Moshe goes up to the mountain, and those of us who are left behind, we look up into heaven, and, you know, we see God. We go from one end of the spectrum to the other, and here in the middle is this extraordinary chok. And it says three times in the Torah, don't boil the kid in the milk of its mother. And each one we learn, one for eating, one for drinking, one for cooking, one for eating, one for hanoo, and for, you know, there's so many different drushim of why it says it three times. But if you look at the context of how it appears, it says three times a year, every male has to go to the Beis Hamikdash to appear before God. It says, and don't have any chametz in your house, any leavened bread in your house when you Shech the Korban Pesach, and don't allow any of the meat to remain over until morning. So, you know, people would get together to eat the Korban Pesach, and 70, 80 people would come together because to make sure that there would be nothing left over, right? Reishis Bikure Ad Moscho Tovi Beis Hashem Lekecho. So the Bikurim, the first fruits of your earth, you should bring to the house of God. Don't cook the kid in the milk of its mother. Behold, I'm sending an angel before you to guard you on the road, to bring you to the place that I've prepared. Be careful from him. Listen to his voice. Don't argue and don't rebel, because he won't bear your sins. Kishmi Bekirboy, my name is inside him. So, you know, saying before, you know, how this Sedra seems to jump me'inyan le'inyan from one subject to another, but this is really, you know, glaring. So, Reishis Bikurei Ad Moscho, the first fruits of your land you should bring to the house of God. Loi Sevashel Gediba Chalev Imoy, don't cook the kid in the milk of its mother. Hinei anoichi sheleach malach lefanecha. Behold, I'm sending an angel before you. If we understand the idea of the malach, first of all, Let's have a look at the Reshis Bikurei Admos. Bikurim, you know, Rashi at the beginning, the very first Sedra, Bereshis Bara Elokim. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Bereshis, for the sake of Bikurim, which is called Reshis. As we had here in the Sedra, Reshis Bikurei Admos. So, if we understand that Reshis, that a person can do Bikurim, I mean, every morning, you know, if you get up, what's the first thing that you do? What's the first thought that you have? And, you know, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says a person should say, Moida ani lefanecho melechai v'kayam. If you open the Siddur, the very first thing, it says, Reshis Chochmo, Yiras Hashem. You know, it's reminding us that Reshis, the first thing, is called Bikurim, the first fruits. A person can take the first fruits of his day. And, you know, you can start the day anytime. And you can make Bikurim. You can take this first fruits. And what does it involve? It involves worship. Anything that you do, any mitzvah that you do, with care and attention, and you do as an act of obedience, and you do it with care, and you do it with love, and you do it with messinas, you do it with the take your time, right? And, you know, mentally you prepare. Why am I doing this? For whom am I doing this? What am I doing? How am I doing it? That's Bikurim, right? So, Reshis Bikurei Admoscho Tovi Beis Hashem Elokecha. So that's the first thing that we do every day. We can become that Malach whose existence really isn't predicated on, you know, what I have in the bank or what it says my name is on my driving license. My existence really is this act that I'm doing, which is the Bikurim that I bring every morning. Then, Loisavashel Gedi B'Chalev Imoy. Now, I think there's the idea of Chalev Imoy, the milk of the mother. You know, the thing about milk is that it takes two, right? First of all, the mother has to give birth, but then the young has to suckle, has to nurse. And so long as the young is nursing, the mother keeps on giving milk. It doesn't come flooding, right? It comes with messinas. It comes, you know, the baby, the child, whether if it's the kid or whether it's a baby, a human, you know, the same process applies. And if the kid stops nursing, then the milk dries up, right? So if I understand the mother as being Bina, as being the supernal mother, and Bina being understanding, then Cholav, then the milk, is that which is produced by the constant nursing and suckling that we do, right? So there's a part of me which connects with the higher, the mother, and nurses all the time. And so long as it nurses, and so long as it suckles, and so long as it's attached to the breast, then it keeps on bringing down into the world, into its own world. It keeps on bringing down something fresh, something nourishing. That means what happens if it's detached, it's dead, and you know, it's the connection is not a living connection between a mother and you know, the mother and the child. It's an artificial connection. Then everything is destroyed, and that's forbidden. So then the Torah says, "Hinei anochi shaleach malach lefanecha." If that's the case, I'm going to be sending the Malach in front of you. Instead of you being the Malach, you're going to upset the order. So there's something about detaching from the mother. There's something about, I guess one of the differences, Shlomo always used to say, the difference between Judaism and he would say, what's the difference between Beis Hamedrash and a university? He says, because, you know, nobody would go to a yeshiva, to a Beis Hamedrash, and say, you know, I'm a professor of Judaism. You know, I mean, people would laugh. It was a professor of Judaism. The whole idea of a Talmud Chochem is a Talmud, right? There's a student. You know, the idea of, you know, the more you know, the better student you are, right? But if you go to Yale and Harvard and you say, who's the best student here in the university, they wouldn't point to the professor. They would point to somebody in the class, right? So in Yiddishkeit, you never become the professor. And the inyan of suvasha gedi b'chalev imoy, the idea of seething the kid in the milk of its mother, is this idea that there is somehow that you can go and get, you can buy knowledge, right? You can go and get knowledge, that there's somebody out there who's got knowledge for you, that you can, you know, you pay him, you pay tuition, and that's it, and you know, he'll feed you, you know, and that's bosa b'cholav. Right, that's taking the meat and the milk and boiling the one in the other. That's not organic, right? I remember when we were learning in the yeshiva, the best tanuk, the best pleasure, was when the Rosh Yeshiva was sitting there with his gemara by a table with bocharim, right? And he's an old man. And he's been learning this Gemara, the five or six yeshivish masechta has been learning all his life, right? And he's coming around for the umpteenth time. And he sat maybe 2, 3, 4 hours at home in the morning preparing this class. So he's not just got the page of the Gemara in front of him, right? He's got all the Rishonim. Besides Rashi and the Tosfos, you know, he's got the Rashbam and the Ramban and the Ritva and the Rashbo and the Shita Mekubetzes, and he's got everything laid out inside his head. He's got it all figured out. This one is like this, and this one is like that, and according to this one, that one says this, and this makes sense. So he's got a whole shiur prepared, right? And he's sitting with us and he's learning, and one of the Bochurim is really listening and says, but Rebbe, you know, just asks a little question. How could that be like that? If they, you just said this is like that. And all of a sudden, the Rebbe is like, psst, I never, yeah, gewalt. Psst, I didn't know that. And he starts, and instead of being embarrassed, instead of like if you were a professor standing on a podium and there's all these students there and one of them would ask him something and he doesn't know, he would be embarrassed, right? Or if somebody asked him something and it contradicts what he said last week, you'd be like ashamed. And instead, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva has such a big smile on his face, because without this student he would never have thought of this question, and now that he's thought of this question, it's obvious that he's been learning it all wrong, and now there's a new way. And this is the Reishis Bikurei Ad Moscha, right? This is the natural way that things go. This is the way that the Chochmah, the Bina, this is the way that the child nurses from the mother. And in this case, it would be hard to say whether the Rosh Yeshiva is the child nursing them from the mother, or whether the Yeshiva Bocher who's asked the question. This is how the knowledge goes. This is how it comes into the world. And the idea of, you know, that somebody can be filled up and just like, you know, sprout and everybody gets you know, comes and gets, this is Lesivasha Gediba Chalev Imoy. And if we don't know the difference, then the Torah says, Hine Anoichi Shaleach Lefanecho Malach. I'm sending in front of you the Malach. And it's strange. Later, after the Masa Egel, you know, after the story of the golden calf, Moshe says to God, you know, I'm not settling for a Malach. Don't send a Malach, because if you're not going to go here with us, if you, it's not you yourself, we're not leaving here. And here, when God says to Moshe, I'm sending a Malach, Moshe doesn't argue, because the stories are completely different. Here, we're still in this narrative of learning. There, after the story of the ego, we're in the land of fixing. There, we've done this thing, and it's interesting that the Zohar could have said, if not for the Erev Rav, if not for this mass, great multitude of people who came out from Egypt with us, then we would have been able to really fix the, we would have been able to get away with the story of the Egel without any kind of punishment, right? Because the Torah calls it a chet. A chet doesn't mean a sin, it means a mistake. Shoigeg, something you do by accident. Because really, our involvement in the story of the Egel was a very small one. Maybe we'll have a chance to talk about it in a few weeks. Really, it was very slight. The actual taking of gold and building a, you know, a golden calf and stuff, that wasn't even us. That was this vast multitude of people who came out of Egypt with us. Our bent was a very slight one, and we fixed that as soon as we realized what we were doing. And so, after that, Moshe could say to God, No, that we learned our lesson and we're moving on, and you know, you're going to come with us, or we're not leaving here. But here, the lesson is still before the chet. And Rabban Shem is telling us, you know, the idea that you can come to Moshe Rabbeinu and he will somehow, you know, spill his guts for you, and then, you know, and that's goyish, that's not really Torah, that's Basu B'Cholof. Learning Torah is Ashatosim Lifnehem. Moshe Rabbeinu, please show the Yidden how to. When we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, we were learning how really the true meaning of learning is not that one person tells another something that they didn't know, but that one person says something and then the other person remembers what they used to know. So all learning is really just reconnecting with those things that we have inside us. And that's what Rabban Shlom is telling us. Ela ha-mishpotim ashetosim lifneihem. These are the things that you should teach them asher lifneihem, which they already knew in the past. If you lay out the Torah, Rabban Shlom says to Moshe, if you lay out the Torah the way you really can, because Moshe could say things with such a sweetness that, you know, even it was the hardest things. Like, you know, we talk about Eved Ivri, somebody got stolen, and a person's so poor, he has to sell his daughter, and the things that this week's Sedra is talking about. But Moshe Rabbeinu could lay it out for us in such a sweetness that instead of hearing the outside laws and the, you know, the ordinances and the petty, small details that can make a person crazy, it was Lifneim, he was able to remind us of, instead of hearing the present tense, we were listening to the Torah that we heard already before we were born. And the Ibn Ezra says, you know, why does it say Leisavasha Gediba Chalevim? Why doesn't it just say don't cook meat in milk, right? Because in those times when people, this is the Ibn Ezra says, in pagan times when people came from the harvest, and then they would make a special sacrifice, and that was a kid seethed in the milk of its mother. And that's the connection between Reishis Bikurei Admos Chotovi Beis Hashem Lekecho, bring the first fruits, and Leisavash Gedi. So they're connected historically, right? But I want to say that Eidah Mishpotim Ashetosim Lifneihem, this all has to do with that there's a way of connecting with the Torah that we used to know before we were born. The Torah of the Neshama, that's Moshe Rabbeinu has to set that. And that, those, if you can connect with those, then it's really not what a teacher has to teach. It's really, the teacher helps a person remember what it is that they are, what it is that they can do. This week's Sedra, and this week's Shabbos, such a Pashas Shekolim, the Mishnah says, Be'echa ba'da mashmim ala shkolim ala klayim. Beis Din used to send out people who would go into the different communities and remind people that they need to give a machzis ha-shekel, a half a shekel, and that would be used as a census and was used for buying the karbanot, public offerings. And mashmim ala shkolim ala klayim, that also, since the winter's coming to an end and people are starting to plant vegetables and fruits and so on, that Beis Din needs to remind people of the halachot, the laws of which kind of planting can take place in which fields, and there has to be a distance between the different species. You can't just plant figs and pomegranates together, you know, with this one tree next to another. There has to be a certain amount of distance so that even the roots of them, you know, are not intermingled. And there's a connection between Shkolem and Klein. What's the connection? That they're really, the shekel tells us what? The shekel tells us that it's half a thing, and that really belongs to another thing. It's a part of a whole shekel, but it's a machzis shekel, it's a half a shekel. So there's like a line connecting and separating it from its twin. Kilayim, the laws of Kilayim, and you know, we talk about shatnes, you know, not having a garment of linen and wool, that spun of linen and wool together, that's called Kilayim, right? One of the names is shatnes, but in the Torah it's called Kilayim because it's an admixture. So there are two things we have to remember. One is that boundaries are really artificial and they're not real. You know, you can't have machzis a shekel, the idea of a half a shekel. You know, the boundary between it and the shekel is what? You can't have a half a shekel unless there's an idea of a shekel, right? So it's part of something and yet it's separate from something. So if you make a boundary that's too big, it's also not good. You know, you have to remember that everything is part of something else. On the other hand, you have to have very clear boundaries about what is what, and you can't just go planting your field, and we're talking about in Eretz Yisroel, in the Holy Land, that we have to maintain the very clear boundaries between things, and that they're not allowed to just mix in one or the other. And these two halachos, these two laws, are really, they come at the same time, because if I get it too much into boundary making, I can also forget that everything is holistic, that everything is really the same thing, and that one thing is defined by the other, and that nothing is really separate. I want to bless you and me, that we have a beautiful week and we have a beautiful Shabbos, and that we each be able to remember that we're paradoxical. On the one hand, we're entities, but on the other hand, we're not. We're part of Klal Yisroel, we're part of Knesset Yisroel, we're part of the Shekhinah, we're part of God and the universe. And also, the other thing is to remind ourselves that, you know, in order to be holistic, in order to be able to be part of everything, we also have to have a clear sense of the boundaries that help us to be boundaryless. Right? If we don't have a sense of where we stop and where we begin, then we're not really able to be part of everything, because then we're not really human and we're not really whole. So I guess, you know, life is really the resolution of that paradox. I want to bless you and me that we'll be able to be defined not by the, you know, what it says on my birth certificate, but by the mitzvahs that I do, that I'll be a malach, and that I'll be a vessel for the divine, that I'll be able to, not like a philosopher or scientist, but that I'll be able to have a shema, that I'll be able to listen to God, because I have completely open ears from one end of the universe to the other. Shkoyach.